C3 Fremantle, and C3, of course, C3 Kwinana, but I'm here in C3 Fremantle this morning, is a place to belong and a place to be planted. We are now in the second part of 2024. We're probably into the last. Thank you to all those that give. Really appreciate your giving. Oops. You got to throw that in there. But yeah, we're so grateful for your giving and we praise the Lord for you. So we're in the middle. We've already started the stretch towards the end of 2024. And I wonder if we can sort of like take a stock take. I think at Port K they do stock takes.
Yeah.
They do. At the end of every financial year, they do stock takes. Every 6 months? Okay. Oh, well done. And I wonder if you were, whatever happened to, or do you recall, can anyone recall what their New Year's resolutions were? As if we're to do a stock take of the things that you vowed that you are going to do differently this year, where are you on that journey? In January this year, I spoke on altars and said, if 2024 is going to be our best year, then we need to activate the altars in our lives so we can achieve the purposes of God for our lives, our families, and our church. And it's very interesting, and I'm very grateful to Dom, who basically mentioned this morning that the altar is a place of exchange where we are exchanging our sin for Jesus' righteousness, where we're exchanging our sickness for healing, where we're exchanging our weakness for strength. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, it says, meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. And so the stock take in our lives as we vowed to say, this is going to be the year where the altar is going to be a central place in the life of C3 Fremantle. I wonder, where are we in that journey? Have we been true to our word where we're constantly coming to the altar in our lives? Have we raised the altar in our families' lives? Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. This is the word that we read in January. I wonder, are you tending to the fire on the altar in your life? How is your fire going? Remember the quote by William Booth that Andrew Baker shared as well in January. He said, the tendency of the fire is to go out. Watch the fire on the altar of your hearts. Anyone who has tended a fireplace fire knows that it needs to be stirred up occasionally. Every so often, we need to tender the fire in our lives. We need to stir it up. Because if we don't, the fire goes out. And all of a sudden, we started with the greatest of intentions and we'll find ourselves having veered off to the right or to the left, not in the direction that we wanted to go. So today is an opportunity for us to stock take and say, where am I against the things that I had intended to do in January, to things I was going to do differently in 2024. Now, the title of my message this morning, as this is the first part in the series on prayer and fasting. We know we spoke in January. We did a fast in January of 3 days. So it wasn't a very long time. It was 3 good days. And this year, we've now decided that, no, we're going to double it. We're going to do it twice. So this year, we'll be doing our fast, which starts on the July 29th. So don't worry about tomorrow. You're good. You can eat tomorrow. But the following Monday, the 29th, the 30th, and the 31st, we are going to be seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, we're going to be stoking the fire in our lives for our families. Why? Because we want to see the purposes of God established in our lives, in our families, in our church, and of course in our country. So if I can define very quickly what an altar is. An altar is a spiritual portal, a place of exchange where spirits, which is God, angels, or demons, land. It is where humanity meets with divinity. It functions as a landing strip, a supernatural landing strip, a meeting place, and a consecrated place. There are two types of altars in our lives. We've got godly or righteous altars, and then, of course, we've got evil or demonic altars. And so we know that in the book of Genesis, Cain and Abel, one of them brought a good offering, a righteous altar, and the other one was the evil one. So something, a key statement for you to remember is that all altars are raised by a sacrifice and they are sustained by a sacrifice. This is what the scripture says, that you put a new piece of wood every day. It's sustaining. So each time that we're gathering, each time that you're spending time with the Lord, all you're doing is that you're adding an extra log onto the what? Onto the fire. So it is sustained by sacrifice. You cannot give to the Lord and expect anything in return when you have not sacrificed. This is why David, when he got to the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite in 2 Samuel, David and his army arrived there, Arunah wanted to give him the threshing floor and said, no, you can have it, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And he said, no, I'm going to buy it for you, because I will not give to the Lord that which is not, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which has cost me nothing. So the sacrifice is going to cost you something in your life. So an altar is sustained, is raised by sacrifice and sustained by sacrifice. This is why you find that if it's an evil altar, you've got people that are dancing around and chanting and carrying on and constantly sacrificing. That's what they do. They kill stuff and then they worship. Maybe that's what, you know, witches do at Halloween. You know, so that's kind of, that's the sustaining of the altar by sacrifice. So it is often built to commemorate an encounter with God that had a profound impact on somebody. And so every human heart, all of us, has an invisible altar where the war between the flesh and the spirit rages. We want to do it God's way or my way. I want to do this, but God wants to do that. But when we surrender our lives to the control of the Holy Spirit, we're in effect laying that area on the altar before God, where we say, Lord, it's your will. And this is why in Romans it says, present your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. Back in the day, the sacrifices, once they were sacrificed, they were really sacrificed, they were dead. But we are called to be living sacrifices. So just as we did in January this year, and we'll continue to do every year, where we start our corporate fast, we're going to do it again. Monday, 29 July, we start. So whichever way that you would like to fast, you do the Daniel fast where it's just vegetables and water, or you do the complete fast where, you know, where maybe you don't eat anything from 6 to 6. You can do the full 3 days where you don't eat anything, and maybe you're just drinking water, whatever it is that you're going to do. Now, remember, here we're talking about a biblical fast. I know that people can fast other things, but the fast that we're talking about here is a biblical fast, and that one involved what? Food, not IT. Although you can do that, but the biblical fast, I've never seen. Remember that back in the days, they used to get entertained as well. But the fast that we know, the biblical fast, is food. My encouragement, as always, let's teach our children. And I know it's hard, but let's teach our children just a little bit. No, you might have to skip something. You know, or maybe if they were having 10 biscuits a day, no, darling, you're gonna fast 8 biscuits to the Lord today and just have 2. Because they might understand, you know, they're not going to understand, get Google to fast biscuits? You'd be like, no. So do something that they understand. But my encouragement is that let's just do something. Gather around with your family. We're going to have an opportunity on those nights to just gather from 7 to 7:30 for 30 minutes and where we're going to pray for one another. This is why it's important that you've got a card on your, on your chairs there. We will not encourage Joseph to fast. Eh? No. Yeah, we should start fasting, Mr. Joseph. So what we're, day one, we're going to be praying for vision for my family, my life, growth, my church. Day two is love for God, my community, my enemies. Ooh. My church, love for prayer. Day three, we're going to be praying for faith, for healing, our finances, breakthroughs, revival, salvations. So what I would encourage you to do is to go away this week and really begin to seek the Lord and say, you know, what is it? Or you know what it is, the things that you're seeking the Lord for. Write them down. And as we go through this fast, put this on your fridge or somewhere. And then each time that we come to the devotionals at the nighttime on the Monday, the 30th, bring it out and we'll begin to pray. We'll have an opportunity during that time to pray for the things that you're believing the Lord for. Amen? The good thing is that, you see, when we pray, it says that when we pray according to his will, then the Lord would give us those things. And that's what we should be asking. Lord, let your will be done in the life of, in my life, the life of my family, the life of my country. On Friday, you know that we are at a precipice. This world can turn just like what? The click of my fingers. So maybe I should stop clicking my fingers. You know, remember that just like that, that update caused chaos. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? So what happened on Friday is that there was a company that was doing a normal update on its systems, and it sent that update through, but then it caused a disruption to staff. And then all of a sudden, flights were canceled. Banks, there was issues. You couldn't go to Woolworths. The checkouts were not working. So just like that, you know, that company lost on Friday on the stock market in New York, $19 billion U.S. dollars. So all I'm saying is that we need to be the people of God that pray. Because at any time, we should have known, now we know because of COVID, that things can change very quickly. So we need to stay prayed up. Amen? So this is an opportunity for us to commence the second half of the year seeking the Lord's direction for our family. So in essence, we are starting a spiritual year. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 18, and I'm going to be doing a whole lot of jumping here because I'm very short on time. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuf in the hill country of Ephraim. It talks about who is the lineage. He had two wives, okay, Hannah and Penina. Penina had children and Hannah did not. Each year, this is what I want you to highlight this, each year Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. He talks about who the priests of the Lord were. And so Elkanah would give his wives stuff to go and sacrifice to the Lord. And so Penina would taunt Hannah, you don't have kids, I got kids, the Lord doesn't love you, stuff like that. And so she was constantly taunted. And this would reduce her to tears and she wouldn't eat because she was just, you know, like, Lord, why? Why can't I have children? Penina's having all the kids in our family. And so why are you crying, Hannah? This is the husband asking. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? Now, for her, it was a big deal. You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? And she obviously says, no, of course not. You know. And so he says, after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow: O Lord of heaven's armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He'll be yours for his entire lifetime. And then it goes on, the priest thought that she was drunk, and she says, no, my Lord, I'm not drunk. And so eventually the guy says, she said, I'm very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked him. Okay, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. She went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer savage. Like, ooh, if the priest says it's going to be all good, then yes, it's going to be all good. 1 Samuel chapter verse 19 then says, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I have asked the Lord for him. Then it says, the next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. Now, Hannah didn't go this time. She's probably obviously pregnant. So some of the things that stand out is that we are normally the initiators and God is the responder. So it is like a conditional promise. If you do this, then I will do that as a result of you doing the this. It is just like, has anybody ever received a call, kring, 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 and you pick up the phone, hello, it's 000, do you want ambulance, fire, or police? Does it work like that? You are the one that calls them when you need some help. That's why they're called the what? First responders. So do we get that? We initiate, God what? Responds. Remember what Hannah said. She made this vow. If you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. And guess what happened to her? That's what the Lord did. She initiated, he responded. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Solomon had finished dedicating the temple, he then says, I've heard your prayers and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times, I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins and restore their land. So this is basically telling us that if you do this, then I'm going to do that. We initiate, God responds. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. That comes from the book of Matthew chapter 18. And so remember again what Elkanah did. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, he says, the next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. In essence, Elkanah made an appointment with God. So what we are doing by saying we're going to take some time praying and fasting, we are making an appointment with the Lord. Back in those days, there was an appointed time that you could go to the temple. Every Israelite male was required to come to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was set up. They did this 3 times a year, but especially on the Day of Atonement, and where they had to offer up a sacrifice. And one of the sacrifices was an offering which was shared with the priest and the family. This is why in that story, they were having a meal after they did their sacrifice. That comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 14. Each year, you must celebrate 3 festivals in my honor. The festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, you must eat. The bread you eat must be made without yeast, just as I commanded you. Celebrate this festival annually at the appointed time in early spring. So God has said that he wants to do what? He has set an appointment, times of appointment that we can meet with him. It says, no one may appear before me without an offering. So we always go there ready to give our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord. At these three times each year, every man in Israel must appear before the sovereign Lord. That's why he says that he made a vow, the vow that he made. So I wonder, based on the vows that we made in January, where are we now? I got about maybe 6 more minutes and then we're done. So which tells me that you just could not rock up at the temple anytime you wanted and say, right, I'm here to offer my sacrifice. No, it was at a specific appointed time. There are some fundamental things that need, there are some fundamental things about an appointment that we have to understand. It's actually a scheduled time which must have the following elements: venue, date, and time. This is why you should not be surprised if you get a bill from the GP and said, we are giving you a late penalty, we're giving you a late cancellation fee because you never turned up and you never told us that you weren't coming because you've missed your what? Your appointment. This is why they're very kind to us, the airlines. They give us scheduled departure times for our flights. Imagine the chaos that we just rock up at the airport. We know we want to go somewhere, like Greg and Karen were going to Europe. They just rock up and say, right, we're on the flight to Europe. What time? No idea. But Qantas is very kind, or whatever airline they flew with, it sends you the ticket with the scheduled times that you're supposed to be on it. And that human beings, we understand the importance of time. And what we understand is wasting it. We understand we don't want people to waste our time. God is the same. He loves appointments, venue, date, and time. In Luke chapter 24, it says, as the Jesus was now, he had appeared to the disciples after his crucifixion. And then he says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. I'll get Catherine and the team to come back up, please. In the King James Version, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. What we understand by that scripture is that, may we please stand this morning as we finish? What we understand from that scripture is that an appointment has been set. Don't go anywhere. Stay in what? Jerusalem. Until you get what? The power that you need to live the life that you're supposed to live on purpose, going ahead for the Lord. There was a venue. The unfortunate thing in this time, in the elements of our schedule, there wasn't a date or a time. The question, I guess, is always going to be for you and I. Will we keep turning up even when we don't know whether God will come or not? The question is, do we have tarrying power? Or can we just close those doors, thanks? Do we have tarrying power? To tarry is to wait. Can we go every day into the presence of the Lord and wait and hope that He's going to do what? He's going to appear and touch us. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. 120 of them tarried and got strength from on high. In our consistency lies the power. In our consistency of constantly turning up, tuning into the Lord, making those scheduled appointment times, venue, date, and time, that is where the power lies. And the reason we do it is so that we get our assignment. You get your assignment for what God wants to do with your life. Will we like, you know what? I went into the presence of the Lord. I didn't sense Him. Probably a waste of time. He stood me up. I ain't coming back again. But we're being asked here Let's tarry some more in the presence of the Lord. We have an opportunity coming up with this Seek God Fast 2.0. And the reason why it's 2.0 is not because there's something spiritual. It's just because it's the second time we're doing it this year. You know? There's a time that I was... This thing about making an appointment and sticking with it and not being distracted in the appointment. So my mind, as soon as I get up, my mind, I'm ready. I'm at 3 o'clock. This is 5 in the morning, but my mind is already, okay, what am I doing up until the end of the day? Okay, what am I going to have to eat? Boom, I've already said what I'm going to do. So to sit still is a challenge for me. So I'm in there and I'm meeting with the Lord. But please, I'm not suggesting I'm super spiritual here. I'm just telling you what I did. And so I did that, and then I immediately said, you know what? I think I need to send that email because it's very urgent. I need to send something to somebody. And then I quickly said, hold on, Lord, let me just do this. I sent the message away. I got up, and then I went through the routines that you normally go through, a bit of pray in tongues for 5 minutes, da-da-da, and then you're done. Thank you, Lord. See you tomorrow. For the first time in my life, I said, Lord, you seem upset. This is the first time ever I said, Lord, I sensed it. You seem upset. Have I done something to tick you off? And anyway, there was no response. And I went about my day. Later on at night, it just so happened to click with me about making an appointment and sticking with that appointment and not distracting yourself. The Lord values the time that we spend with Him, that we're not distracted by anything else, that our time is fully devoted to Him. As we're talking here about prayer and fasting, a friend of mine, Bruce, was, and I think Bruce needed a license needed a taxi license way before Uber. We're talking maybe 8 years before Uber came into the picture. So back then you had to tender for your license, and he was always missing out. And then we said, look, let's fast. Let's come on. We're going to fast. We're going to believe the Lord. The night we started to fast, I had a dream, and there was a snake, and I remember just taking a knife and cutting the snake in two. I sensed the Lord saying, there's a what? Release. Fast forward a few days later, when they went for their auction, boom, man got his what? Got his license. Prayer and fasting are powerful for breakthrough in our lives. So whatever it is that you're facing in your life, I encourage you to make a commitment starting from the 29th of July to set that time aside. I know I've stolen your time this morning. I hope this has blessed you. One more thing. I just want to pray. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, it says, Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshana. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. And my prayer for each and every one of you and for all of us is that the Lord is our Ebenezer, that He is our help, that you would declare that up until this point, the Lord has been my help. And so, Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your people here in C3 Fremantle. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Father, that we would set aside those times of appointment. That the vows that we made, help us, Lord God, that we would keep our vows to always make an appointment with the Lord, to inquire and to hear what you will say, to see what you will say to us. So, Father, bless your people. Give us an ear to hear what you're saying. And we know, Lord God, that in our consistency lies the power that your people will have for the next journey over these next 6 months that remain of 2024. And we're going to go out with song number 3. What song was that one? Yeah, that's the one. No, 4. What's song number 4? Tell me what song number 4 is. Is that the one that you got up to? Hope Remains? Yeah, bang, let's go out with that one. And this, oh, Josh, thank you. This time, this morning as we leave, let hope arise on the inside of you. Let hope arise on the inside of you. And as you worship, let this come from deep within your spirit. And say, Lord, I make my vow to make an appointment to meet with you. Let us be those, you and I, that are willing to pay the price that the Lord requires of us. And the Lord is gentle in his asking of you and I. Bless your people this morning. As they leave, bless their families. Father, I just pray, Lord God, for families that have people that don't know you, Lord God, that there would be salvations within the families, Lord God, in 2024. Father, I pray for our young people, Lord God, that as your word says in Isaiah 44, that you would pour out a blessing upon our children, Lord God. And you say that, Father, they would flourish. And not even that, you say some of them will say, I belong to the Lord. Others would write the name of the Lord on their hands. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing, that, Lord, you are our stone of help. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.